All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Connecting to Pack. I am joined today by Veronica Becher. I'm sure I butchered how her last name is pronounced, but Veronica is a student from Germany who is currently doing two exchange years here in the United States. And I'm interested in learning more about her story and what brought her here and her experiences so far. So, Veronica with a K, welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me here.
Absolutely.
After laughing for 2 hours.
that is true. Yeah, we just had a very interesting conversation before we started recording. But I don't think we got into why you decided to show up here. So
true fact.
Yeah. So how about you share with us, like, what sort of motivated you to show up to the United States and start this 2-year program?
This goes back probably into seventh grade. I'm not kidding. I was in seventh grade and my English teacher told me I will never learn English.
Oh,
this is actually the background.
Wow, that was very blatant.
I know, Germans are really direct, you know, we all know that. We do have humor, by the way, but yeah, we're also direct.
Wow.
And he told me I would probably never learn English. And just imagine having everywhere A's and this one random C in English. And you're like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can I not pick up a language? And I grew up bilingual, so my mom was always like, yeah, why do you have a problem with English specifically? You're good with French, you're good with like Russian and German, and what's happened, you know, with English? And so in 10th grade, I decided to go abroad to study in South Dakota.
All the way to
South Dakota. Oh my gosh, don't ask why South Dakota. But it was good.
Boy.
Bison's cornfields, everything is good.
Bison's cornfields.
No, seriously, that's something you can tell people, and they would be like, even here, they're like, I've never been in South Dakota. I'm like, well, you missed out on bisons, right? And good corn mazes. And if anyone is listening from South Dakota, you know what I'm talking about. So I went there, lived for a host family for a whole year, and most of my friends were seniors. And they all, yeah, I was friends with older people.
Seniors, old people, not like high school seniors.
No!
Right?
No. Okay. We're not talking about 60 plus. We're talking about seniors in high school, okay?
Senior citizens.
But I was like, I was 16, like 15, 16. And these people graduated high school. So, you know. And I just really wanted to experience like the American college experience, like just going to big like sport games and be engaged, meet people.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I had to finish my degree in Germany and I was like, I really want to go abroad. And so I looked up into old programs, and that was the only program in Germany that offered 2 years studying abroad. I don't know if I should say that disclaimer, but without paying American tuition fees. And I know this is something really direct, but
yeah,
it is. It's something they only select 5 people per year.
Really?
To go to state. And
that's competitive.
Yes, it is. So kind of if people joke about, oh, you're a business student and you don't need a high, you know, GPA. Well, we do. For this program, we do. Because it's like med school is on the same level.
Med school, but for business students.
Yes, for business students, exactly. And so I just studied, yeah, you know, for 2 years, tried to get to the United States. And I really wanted to see the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so I had the choice between Elon and NC State. And
wait,
I was
where
like,
is Elon?
Elon? You don't know where Elon is?
I'm ashamed to say.
Shame on you. Okay, you're living here long. Not really. We actually arrived here at the same time.
Yeah, we started here at the same time.
Elon is not that far away. It's, okay, now I'm feeling 20 minutes from here, 30 minutes. I don't know, actually.
Oh, so it's actually here in North Carolina.
Yes.
Oh.
It's a private school. It's considered, I hope it's right, one of the prettiest college campus universities, but it's private college.
Oh.
And so I was like, Elon or NC State, nothing against Elon, but I really wanted to go to a big university.
Mm-hmm.
Universities in Germany are different. You don't have the different additional things, you know, clubs and everything. You just have more like an institution where you go to study and get your degree.
Mm-hmm.
Although ESB Business School in Germany did have the experience of like, oh, almost like an American high school. We were all together when I studied in Germany.
Yeah.
And so I ended up finding this degree, and it's 2 years in Germany and 2 years in the United States, getting 2 degrees at the same time, 2 bachelors. And in each country, you have an internship. So kind of international management, business science.
Ooh.
Whatever. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Huh.
Bachelor of Science. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's sometimes I thought that business was like a Bachelor of Arts, but thank you for pointing out that it's
it
actually
is
Bachelor
usually
of Science.
But the reason is we take more math classes and I think some programming classes, and because of that they, you know, give us like a Bachelor of Science degree, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you also mentioned that you had well, I guess this stems from your mixed background, right? You said you were quite familiar with Russian. You grew up bilingual.
Yes.
Yeah. So how does that, for some of the people that are listening, how does
not
that
knowing what's happening there? Yeah. Oh, the long story. So my dad is he's German, but he was born in Russia and during the Soviet Union. Yes. And my mom is from Kyrgyzstan. Mm. So people are like, oh, so you're Russian or you're German? But I was born in Germany. And so to make it short, you know, people that used to live on the German territory were invited to, like, back in, I don't know, time-wise, I cannot pinpoint it properly.
It's
but
okay.
They were invited to live, like, on farms and places that were, like, on the other territory closer to Russia. And then through time, changes, this territory became Russia. And so these Germans end up living in Russia. And so that's, like, the background behind German Russians, if that makes sense, or Russian Germans. And during the Soviet Union, you were not allowed to go back to Germany. So people throughout World War One and World War Two, they just continue living in Russia as Germans.
Yeah.
And the whole like heritage, all the families were staying German. Like my great grandma, she knew only German, no Russian, and all she could read was a Bible. So crazy thing, fun fact. Yes,
wow.
A Russian Bible. So after the Soviet Union fell apart, my parents decided to move back to Germany. There was a program where they were like returning Germans,
mm-hmm.
and they would get a citizenship right away. And so my mom, since she married my dad, got also German citizenship.
Wow.
And so I was born there. I grew up there. And my parents were like, well, you can learn Russian or you can learn only German. But they wanted me to learn Russian too. And so at home, we started like from the beginning on only speaking Russian. I picked up German in kindergarten. I was one of these kids born in Germany that didn't know how to speak German at all. And they put me into this one group of kids that would come up. You know, I had to wake up earlier than everyone else. I hated that because we had to go to these classes where I would learn German for kids that don't know German, and I was German. It was just bad.
So you were like the odd one out.
Yes, but I picked up German pretty fast. And sometimes, I mean, it happens you pronounce things differently, even though you're German. It's really weird. But it happens when you're like bilingual.
Yeah.
And so I still have relatives in Russia. I was against speaking Russian at home when I was a kid because I was like, oh, my friends are speaking German and I want to speak Russian. I don't want to speak Russian. I want to speak German too, not being the odd kid. But I'm really happy that my mom was like, no, you will learn Russian because you want to speak to your grandma and I don't want to always translate everything for you.
That's understandable.
So that's like, I don't know. I just picked it up and I really, I really like being bilingual, I think.
Wow.
Comes with challenges, though.
Well, you're not just bilingual. I mean, you speak English, too, so that would make you trilingual.
Okay, no, I had this discussion with people. No, I'm not trilingual. But technically,
why not?
I mean, okay, I'll keep it as trilingual. I mean, I picked it up. My accent is weird.
No, this is, I would have never been able to tell that you were, like, I mean, I've pointed this out before we started recording. Like, I was like, yeah, I didn't think that you were German. You know, there's a slight, you know, there's an accent, but it's not like, I mean, you've already said, like, Germans do have that sort of English accent. Like, you could tell, right? Oh, yeah,
yeah.
You come from Germany. But I couldn't tell. Like, that was...
Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's a compliment.
I mean, sometimes with certain words or, like, topics, I'm like, okay, I don't know how to say this in English. And people just... And my friends could make fun of me, but in a good way. And they're like, say this word. And I'm like, I don't want to do that anymore.
But no, dude, this is really interesting, though. I mean, we touched on that earlier a little bit when you mentioned... When you said the word Arabic, right? I was like, wow,
oh my gosh,
this is
exposing me.
Okay, well, we're gonna it's water under the bridge. We're not gonna bring it up again. But essentially, I mean, I think sometimes you could tell where someone is from based on the accent. Like, I could tell if someone is French by the way they speak English.
Oh, definitely. But they also, you can tell that they're French based on the smell, literally, like, perfume and everything. We have this conversation. You know right away. If they walk past you and you're like, ooh, this smells good or bad. I don't know. Depends on how you see it. You're like, okay, this is not American. Like, facts.
Yeah, you can tell that they're not American from that, you know, that sort of...
And no slippers, right? With the pajama, like, right. Outfits. It's okay. We know right away it's a European person.
That was really... I mean, seriously, that surprised me, too, when I showed up and I realized that, you know, they had... You know, like, they're showing up to class with a pajama. I saw people, like, today, a final exam. You know, I was supervising the exam.
Yeah.
And I saw them with, like, PJs on... And they had, you know, these Crocs. And
I mean,
I was...
it makes sense, though. I think so many people don't sleep. They're like, okay, I don't have time. I need the maximum sleep I can get, like 3 hours, whatever. And I need to finish this exam. But I used to, in high school, do the opposite. I would dress up for my exams. And that's crazy, maybe.
Wow.
But because I feel like there's a psychological thing behind it. And it's like, fake it till you make it. Uh-huh. And it's like, dress up as a business person so you feel like you know what you're doing there. And it actually... sometimes helps a lot with, like, your confidence on an exam because you know you feel good, you look good, you're like, I'm prepared to take on this exam. So I was, like, taking all my final exams with, like, business class. Well, it was weird, maybe, but it works.
Wow.
I swear, like, if anyone needs your, you know, reverse the psychological thing, yeah. But I think my biggest culture shock that I encountered here was orientation week with parents.
Oh, what was that like? What was orientation?
Because in Germany, it's like a different experience. Like, you finish high school and people like, I mean, our parents love us, don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
and like, leave, you know, you can do on your own all the things and everything is fine. But here it's like orientation week and all the parents come in and they want to see the university and they kind
the
of
dorms.
Walk with you and they eat with you. And we were like five Germans arriving there. And we're like, well, we're without parents. Our parents would never arrive here, and hopefully, and it's going to be okay. And people like came from like, I don't know, the craziest places, even like abroad. Like, I met a guy who like whose parents from Russia like decided to come to NC State for orientation week.
Really?
Or like from China. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I don't know. My parents would not do that. Like, no. Not that they don't love me, but that's just not a thing. Like,
yeah, that was strange for me to see as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought, well, the funny thing is that I was under the impression that when you go to college here, like you're 18, you're done. You're on your own. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that there was that parental involvement.
Too much, actually.
Yeah, like sometimes like you're so surprised to see them just hanging out with their parents on campus and you're like, whoa. Like, I really thought you severed that tie.
Yeah,
like you're now an adult. You're on your own. Just do whatever.
And it doesn't matter. No, I totally get that. But also, that was my experience. My freedom came from college. Literally, like, my parents are to a certain extent strict, but also, you know, I'm an only child, and it was like, you know, my mom was like, yeah, be home by 9. I think guys have, like, more freedom when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
And girls are more like, you need to be here at home, you know. And so the first day I arrived at my college in Germany and was, like, 5 hours away from my hometown. I'm originally from the west, so Düsseldorf. And, or, like, actually, Erkrath to be precise, but it's, like, by Düsseldorf. It's, like, two stations, like, train stations next to Düsseldorf. So I, like, don't go into details. And so I was close to Stuttgart. I studied in Reutlingen, and I was like 2 days there with my parents. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, can you please leave? Like, I love you. Thank you for letting me move here. And my mom was like first offended. My dad was like, I get you. Like, that would be me. Like, I get the totally. Like, you want the freedom? You get the freedom. Yeah. So they left, and I just went crazy. Like, I got to know people, and I was like, that's, like, so cool. I can actually on my own decide when to get home.
Wow.
Sometimes it's bad, though. disclaimer, if anyone sees me in the library, 2 o'clock, that's me probably with a high potential, honestly. But
oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, look, I had something similar when I was, you know, back home, back in Libya. You know, my parents would be like, you got to come back home by 10, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, and when I started school in Lebanon, I was no longer constrained by that rule, obviously, right?
Well, that's a progress.
Yeah, yeah. But I never really, like, I would come back, you know, I don't know, maybe like 2, 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. if I had, like, spending the night with my friends, with my buddies. Sometimes, you know, it takes, you know, we're just hanging out. But, you know, you come back and you're no longer under that, you know, pressure. Oh, did I just, you know, is it past 10 now that I have to go?
Yeah, you can be more, like, flexible. Like, yeah. Much, much more flexible.
That's right.
I agree.
And the funny thing is that I was at a dorm where a lot of the people that I was with, mm-hmm. their parents signed curfew laws.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
their kids literally have to get back to the dorm by 12.
By 12. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, if they obviously have to violate that rule, they would, like, call their parents or something. So it was an interesting situation to witness, you know.
It's a big topic, let's be honest. Like, I don't know, I really enjoy the freedom. I feel like that's something that people, if they have the opportunity, that's just like a, you know, life hack, I don't know. If you have the opportunity in life to live off campus, but not at your parents' house, and I get the whole, like, cost situation mm-hmm. that people encounter, do it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious about that. I get the thing with your parents can cook for you and your laundry is getting done and everything's fine. I mean, that's that's how you return home for, like, Christmas break, and you just get the full-on wellness experience of a hotel abroad. And then after 2 weeks, you're like, that's enough constraint. Yeah. Let's go back home.
Right.
I mean, to college.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just helps you to grow as a person and kind of get to know what you want, how to grow, how to manage your own time, how to take care of yourself, and just stay in touch with your parents. And that's all you need, I think.
Yeah. No, and I mean, I think they do play a role sometimes in you know, they should, I think to a certain extent, they still remain involved, but, you know, it's less of, like, direct involvement,
yes.
You know. They're there in the background.
Yes.
You know. But yeah, I think really that sort of independence changes you, and it makes you, it turns you into, like, an entirely kind of different person, right? You're now an adult. You now have, you make your own decisions. And I think through experience and through also travel, you get to.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you
it learn,
shapes you.
Yeah, you grow, you kind of understand how to act in certain situations, and you also realize that no matter how old you get, you always feel like a kid and you never know how to manage anything, and you just feel like, oh, I just want to be 5 again, but also I don't want to be 5 again. That's,
you don't want to take German, like, lessons.
Oh my gosh, no, I don't want to, and also not English lessons. That's the thing with Spanish here. Some people hate Spanish and think, like, I don't want to learn languages because of their experience in high school.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Mostly it's the teachers and the people they encounter, like, that couldn't probably, like, properly teach a language that makes, you know, people to actually continue learning
yeah.
the language. And I feel like I hated English in high school. Like, really, props to anyone who loved that. I didn't. And I like more interacting with people, traveling, and actually having the experience with international students, international people,
yeah.
and talking and practicing it in real life than, you know,
being in a classroom.
Yes, being in a classroom and learning yeah. randomly how, you know, Shakespeare went through life. And then all your teachers usually are from Great Britain, so they never teach you, like, they never teach you an American accent. They never teach you many things besides politicians in the US and immigration policies type of thing, or the American dream topics. That's literally what I have learned. Like, that's the only topics that I can recall right now on the go about America. And maybe what you see on random TV shows like Gilmore Girls, Sex and City.
You
and
know
like,
Gilmore Girls?
I do. I watched it with my mom.
Oh,
like,
really?
And, or things like High School Musical, and you have this one picture of America, and you come here to South Dakota, and you see bisons, and you're like, that was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
But
no, I thought so. I was also, I guess through movies, I was exposed to that world of like, you know, 21 Jump Street, 22
yeah. yes.
Jump Street. Like, oh, so that's the college experience. That's the high school experience.
No, but certain things do add up. Like, let's be honest, like, you travel here and you see these things. Like,
oh,
I see
yeah.
the, especially with the basketball season, I go back. No, oh, yeah. it was a good one. Like, I feel like I was the only one in my friend's group who was actually feeling connected to the American spirit. I mean, like, we sat in the restaurant and I was like, please check your phone. I want to know the score. And I was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I really want them to continue winning. I really like this team, okay? I feel with them.
Yeah.
And so every single time when people ask me where North Carolina is, and I'm like, basketball. Just think about basketball, you know exactly what's
yeah.
happening.
Yeah. No, that was a big thing. That was a big deal. And I never really, I was never into like, I'm not into sports. I mean, I would play, you know, but.
But never like, you know, when people watch soccer in Europe, but that's
oh,
like what
yeah.
it feels like.
That's
I'm,
wild.
I'm not a soccer person. Like, I'm sorry for like all the people that are like hating me now. I love volleyball. I love basketball.
Yeah.
Maybe ice hockey. That's something I can also, you know, go through. But not soccer. I don't get that. I'm sorry. I don't get the whole hype about like soccer players and
but I mean look, you guys have amazing teams.
I mean,
clubs
we yeah, do
not the dance clubs. I mean, I'm sure they're good too, but I mean like
yes, I get that, but yeah, we do. And I mean, if the World Cup was like, you know, on TV, you do watch it.
I tune in. Yeah,
yes, that makes sense. But basketball is just different. I feel like it's you know, football, I mean American football, like, you know, to clarify for German people, it's not my thing as much. I like the whole, let's call it party community, pre-gaming, tailgating experience
yeah.
just to see it. I like the game for the first hour, and then after an hour, you're like, okay, sorry, but that's not my sport. And it's too long and too warm.
Yeah. I felt the same way, by the way. I mean, I attended only one football game here, and it wasn't
same
even
here,
like a...
Okay, Beth. Shame on me. I didn't get tickets, okay? They didn't give you tickets.
No, I mean, I understand how that could be frustrating with, like, the availability and all, but it wasn't even, like, a school game. I attended, like a preseason game with, like, you know, the NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, that was like, with, like, the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns. It was interesting, but I don't get it. I still don't get it. I don't get the rules.
Yeah, that's how I got into ice hockey first, and then I'm like, you know, in basketball. When I was in South Dakota, we went with my host dad to one of like the longest in history ice hockey games ever. I'm not joking. He told us like in a car, and I was like, you know, 16 years old, and he's like, don't tell your host mom that you're tired tomorrow in the morning because tomorrow is school and you're gonna go all to school.
Oh,
and we went there, and it lasted I think 7 hours long because they had to rebound, and they went on and on, and I was like, that was good though. And then the second time I went to an ice hockey game was in Germany, and apparently Düsseldorf has a really good team too. Yeah, I think the ice hockey, you know, season just started here, right?
Did it really?
Am I off? Hurricanes, like the whole
know.
Thing. Am I off? Maybe
it's
I'm off.
May. Well, no, it's not May yet. It's
I don't know,
April
but
26th.
It's I don't know when it is, but I just saw more people having their jerseys on and so on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I never. Yeah. I always thought that if I were to, you know, talk to a European, they would say that, you know, if I were to talk to them about sports, they would probably definitely. They definitely. Will be saying that soccer's number one, you know?
No, it's not. I mean, it is. If you think this way, people fight each other over soccer.
Oh, yeah.
It's extreme. It's like when here people fight over what is your religion in a political standpoint. It's like over soccer. It's like I had this one kid in high school, and he was like a oh my gosh, I forgot like the team, but he had a different, oh, Schalke, that's like the soccer team, and he was the only kid who liked this other team, and everyone just like bullied him over you like this like really bad, like, you know, soccer team, how dare you, like, you should be ashamed. And I felt so bad for this kid, but it's like, seriously, like, people become friends over soccer, whatever team you like. Yeah, my soccer experience stopped in fourth grade, but I was playing one soccer, okay? Fourth grade, again. And we won. We actually won the local soccer girls team.
Wow.
Whatever.
Championship. Congratulations to the fourth grade you.
Yes, thank you. And that's where I realized that soccer isn't for me. I danced my whole life since like I was three. So
tell me more about that. What did you... dancing. I want to learn about that.
So I started when I was three or two. My mom was like debating what to put me in. Like, literally, what club should she be in? Like, it was a huge family like discussion. It wasn't just like, I want to dance. It was like, okay, if she goes into swimming, her, you know, arms would be like bigger than her. Like, these type of things. It's bad. Like, have you ever seen that? That's like, you know, when people arrange marriages, that's the same thing. It's like, what club is most fitting for her and how she looks like and her proper, you know, career in the future. And it's like the biggest decision ever. And so I end up going into dancing, and well, I had no rhythm, like feeling for rhythm for anything, for music. Like, I was so like, just, I don't know what happened with me. Like, my whole family can dance, and I'm like, I don't know what happened with me as a kid. Got dropped or something, I don't know. And so I started dancing when I was three, and I really wanted to go into ballet. But I had to be seven in order to like be in the team and actually dance ballet.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting till I, you know, turned seven to be part of the ballet team. And I ended up dancing ballet for a couple of years, but then stopped. And all I did professionally, I ended up... why did I end up all the time? Okay. going into show dance. And show dance is... it's a combination. It's a mostly group formations, that's how we call it. And I was one of the national teams, German national teams, so professionally dancing. It's more contemporary ballet and like a mixture of like, you know, when you see shows and you're like, oh, okay, like acrobatic, like movements, nothing with hip hop, more like modern, a mixture of everything. And I danced throughout high school, the whole time in this team. I went to world championships. Wow. I think the highest we were like sixth, placed sixth in the world.
Well, sixth in the world?
Yes. I don't know to this point. Like, if I tell people, oh, I dance, they're like, based on how we dance now, that's not the same. And I'm like, well, things happen. Like, you know, I stopped in college because I moved, and then I couldn't find a team that I really liked.
Yeah.
And I started playing volleyball. So you see, there's a switch up. And now I got involved into district dancing team. So I'm trying to learn hip hop because I really like it, but it's the opposite of what I used to do with dancing, and it's so weird. Like, my body doesn't move the way I want it to be. You know, I cannot pick up some of this choreography, and I'm like, what's wrong? Like, I cannot tell people that I dance professionally. That's a shame.
Wow. I really, you know, I tell people I tried Irish dance once, you know, and then, you know, when I was in undergrad for a semester.
Mm-hmm.
And now people ask me, hey, can you show us some moves? I'm like, no, of course not. It's been a while. Like, I'm rusty,
that's so true.
You know?
It's the same like when you go to like a party, like a disco, you know, and people are like, wow, you probably dance well because of dancing. I'm like, no, you don't know that show dance has nothing to do with this. Like, literally, like certain things you just... the problem with show dance is, in comparison to hip hop, one of the things is you're not an individual dancer. You need to be precisely dancing like everyone else in a team, because
choreography has to be in sync
completely. That's, you practice a whole season to go to these three championships, like two German ones, like German Cup, German championship and then world championship if you get qualified.
Oh.
And you dance and you train to be exact the same, like dancing the same as the person next to you. So you never learn how to be an individual dancer, how to have your own style, how to express yourself. So that's something you have to learn yourself. And then hip hop is the opposite way, like more power, more energy, like be yourself. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this because I've never done this before.
Wow.
And so to tie back to like the Russian roots, one of the fun facts is when you go to world championships, and it used to be in Riesa, what's also in Germany, in the east of Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Germany was just hosting it. And this is like a city for all different championships, like a huge gym. Like a whole week, I would just miss classes and just go through this whole championship.
Wow.
And I would speak to my parents in Russian. And just imagine Russian teams actually also arriving there and them being super confused. Because I'm like with my, you know, jacket, with my German, like, you know, yeah. attire, dance attire. And they just look at me like, why is she speaking Russian? And, you know, that just freaks out people all the time. And my mom would like help out some of the Russian dancers because they, like, I don't know, injured something. And my mom would like tape them. And I'm like, I don't know. She's just helping a different team to succeed. But that's okay. And that was just my experience, my bilingual experience, when you or you have people randomly come up to you and they think you know Russian, but they don't really see it right away because my features are like in between. Like I look half like Russian, half German.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like they come up to you and they just start speaking Russian with you and you're like, whoa, how do you know I know Russian? Like, I don't even... And they just ask you something, and you're like, okay, I will lead you the way to the bathroom. I don't know.
I never knew about this. I mean, I never... Maybe because of my lack exposure to Russians, but I don't really, I couldn't tell.
I think Slavic people see each other. Like, I was explaining this to some of my American friends, and I'm like, I see based on your face and literally the way you, like, talk, I just know you have Russian roots. And sometimes it's weird, and you're like, maybe I'm off, something is wrong. Like, you have, like, Russians or, like, Slavic people in general have something inside of them that tells them they're also Slavic. And I cannot explain it. I don't know how. And sometimes, and most of the time, you're right. Like,
yeah.
They just tell you, like, oh, yeah, I'm from this country, but I also speak Russian. And you're like, oh, or I also speak, like, I don't know, I'm, like, have Bulgarian roots or, like, Moldavian roots, whatever it is. And you're like, okay, I knew that. It was not just a random gut feeling.
This is incredible. Wow.
But, yeah, that's, I don't know if you see this really often with Germans specifically, but I know that with Slavic people, that's what I've noticed. I think Germans is a little bit more difficult to, like, see that they're German right away. Because they're, like, Dutch people, they're people, like, with mixed backgrounds. I don't know, like, Germany, we have more Turkish community than actually more Germans probably living there. Let's be honest. And Russians following is the second. I'm not kidding. It's actually a thing. And also, there's so many people, like, with a mixed heritage that you don't know exactly where they're from. And I don't know. I just see the European. I know they're German when they act the way they act on. And maybe if they're really direct, I know that they're German people.
Wow. So even with, so for you, it's like looks, you would be able to tell through looks.
Yes.
And through maybe the way they speak, if they
yes.
were to speak English.
Ooh, definitely. That's the yeah. thing that I know right away, it's German. Because Germans have a really distinct accent.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes... It's a shame because sometimes I cannot hear all these TED Talks that I have to listen to in business classes and I'm like, ooh, this is bad. Like,
oh,
I
no.
know right away this person is German. I don't want to go through that.
No offense to the Germans.
No, I love it. But no, it's bad. Like, the TH yeah. is not pronounced. Like, there's certain things they're just not pronounced. I don't know. It's
oh,
just
no.
a thing. I'm just a mix. I sometimes pronounce things though like a German person. I cannot get rid of this accent. Just stays with you till you die.
No, I really think this is, I think the beauty of language and how, you know, it's a testament to people's efforts in truly wanting to learn, right? Because like when you have a conversation or when I have a conversation with someone who's not native Arabic speaker,
mm-hmm.
but is speaking Arabic and they're trying. it's like, wow, I appreciate that. You know, you start to appreciate it more because, like, they're putting in that effort to speak to you in your mother tongue, if that makes sense.
I don't think Germans do that. That's something I...
No, I mean, like, when you're talking to a foreigner and they speak German to you, like, I'm sure you would appreciate that.
I don't always think that people... Oh, I don't know if you can say that. Like, I do appreciate it, but...
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's just... Where I see really often happening, like, in Germany specifically, that people switch to English. So, especially, like, I've seen throughout the years, like, American students coming to Germany trying to learn German, and then Germans just switch right away to English. They're like, no, I will not talk with you in English. Like, I realize even talking to some people that learn here at State German,
yeah,
it takes me, like, so much more energy to stop and be really, like, you know, speak not so fast and more precise and so without slang. And I understand where people are coming from, but I appreciate when people learn German. It's just like, I don't think everyone does, unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I definitely you would have to maybe when you're trying to speak to them in German, you would want to give them, I guess, it's sort of like you're in a tough spot. Like, do you want to give them the full experience by just going full on German, like with slang?
Yes.
Or do you want to give them the, like, you know, the semi-formal, formal sort of,
like,
thing?
Yeah, like you're in first grade. You, exactly. I feel so bad. Like, I'm like, I don't know how much you, like, some people get stressed out too. Like, they, like, they know you're German. I'm, for instance, in the German Ambassador Club.
Mm-hmm.
And people just, you know, the moment they realize I'm not American, they're like, oh no, I cannot speak to you in German anymore. That's stressful.
Yeah.
And I get that. I actually feel the same pressure. Or I used to feel the same pressure with native English speakers.
I felt that too in my early days.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
I'm like, especially parents, don't get me wrong, but it's like, just freaks me out. I'm like, oh no, I'm like, how many mistakes? What is the sentence? How does it work?
The grammar, the word pronunciation.
Yes. And the worst is with German and English, they cancel each other out.
Oh.
That's my experience. They are so close, but also they're not. And so I think people that learn German, they understand what I mean by that. Like, the more I speak in English, the least I know how to speak in German, and that's just bad. Like, you come back and you're like, oh, I don't know how to say the sentence anymore. Can I speak in English? Because it's so close, and for some reason, like, Russian is not the same. Even French, not so close.
Yeah.
But English and German just... They just intervene. They just kill each other. Like, if you know one language, the other one just disappears. Like, my mom used to know English so well, and when she moved to Germany, she had to learn German from scratch, and she just forgot English completely because they just cancel each other out. It's so difficult to keep both languages on a certain level.
Yeah.
I even came back from South Dakota. I didn't speak German at all for a whole year because I only spoke, like, you know, in Russian with my parents and then in English, you know, in America. And then I came back, and the first week they asked me if I can hold a speech for, like, a theater performance. I don't know why, how I got into that. And I started, and people were like, oh, you have an American accent. I'm like, in German, an American accent. It's so bad. Like,
oh my goodness.
These things happen. Like, when you pick up languages, just the more you speak or surround yourself with people that speak only one language, you just kind of start to lose the other one.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you don't use it, you kind of lose it. And you know, with like even my dad, like, he was in working with embassies in Libya as a chauffeur, he had to use English. But then when the embassies left after the situation in Libya deteriorated, he no longer had to use English. So
and
he kind of
disappeared.
Yeah, he lost it. You know, and because, you know, he's speaking to us in Arabic. There was no need for him to speak to us in English.
No, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're not constantly practicing it and using it,
yes,
like, it's like, I feel like it's getting weaker and weaker by the, you know, as the days progress. And I feel sometimes the same way when I, like, you know, my daily interactions, they're with Americans and with people that speak English. And when I sort of, you know, when I talk to my parents, when I call them, these calls don't last long. I mean, it's not like we're talking for 2 hours, right? And so
well,
I switch.
You didn't believe me that you could talk with me for 2 hours previously before the call. No, I'm just saying.
No.
Yeah,
I mean,
it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like, you're just using it briefly, but the entire day is just like you're using English.
Yes.
And so sometimes when I talk to them, like, some words I just completely forget, you know?
I totally get that.
Yeah.
It's also like there is one other phenomenon. It's like certain things are associated with, for me, with certain languages. So I even feel like languages are like colors type of thing, or like a feeling that they give me. Like I feel like Russian is more like much softer than German. That's how I perceive the languages I speak. But I think German is still not a harsh language that people think it is. Like, don't always watch only movies and they, expect that German sounds, only a certain way because of World War II movies. Let's be honest. Yeah. It also depends where you live, like where you grew up, what area, what type of accent you or dialect you picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And so one thing is, math is always associated with Russian for me. And also, like, all the terms for botany, for like, I don't know, science terms, I know them in Russian better. So sometimes, wow, I'm like, I know this tree, but I have no clue what the name is in German or English, but I know it in Russian. And my parents are both like, they're scientists, so it's kind of like, it makes sense if you speak only Russian. And the same thing happens like with translations. I'll translate my English book to my mom, and I find it's quite easy to translate from English to Russian, like really fluently. I have no problem with that, but for some reason I cannot do that with German.
Yeah.
It's just certain languages, I cannot translate them back and forth. And dreams are crazy. And like,
dreams? Do you dream in Russian?
I dream in, oh my gosh. The first experience when you learn a language and you move to a different place, you're like, okay, what are the things you would, you would dream in a different language? Well, my first dream in South Dakota, and I still remember to this point, was like a four languages stream. It was the creepiest thing ever, because to that point I still remembered French, and so I was just there like, my French used to be better than English and now it's just gone because of not using it. And I was like, that was just this dream moment. I don't always remember my dreams, but it's like, unless some other of my friends that randomly called me up to, I had a dream about you, I remember everything. It's so strange. But it's like, I had a dream. This person talks to me in a different language, like in French. And I think at the same time in English and reply in German. But this person, different person comes in and talks with me in Russian. And they never in their whole life talked in Russian with me. And that's what gets really messed up and creepy. When you have like people talking in different languages you've never heard them talk before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what happened earlier when I was talking to my dad.
Well, that wasn't a dream. It was a real life experience.
Yeah. But I'm sure it was like very like a huge switch.
Yes. And also if you ask me like things like, oh, can you say something in Russian? You know, the typical thing that people ask, and I'm like, okay, what do you want to know? And I will tell something in Russian. And then the moment they say something, I explain this in German because my brain just switches languages around. But one fun fact maybe also about Russian in me, I cannot pronounce the Russian R. Like that's the thing that maybe helps me with not having an accent in German. Because the German R and the Russian R, the rolling the R, like, what you imagine like Russians would do.
Like the rolling of like, is
that? Yeah, I cannot do that. Oh, it's bad. And so that's one of the things that people notice. I don't have an accent in Russian, but they hear that I don't roll the R. And some people do this. They can't pronounce it in Russian either. Oh. It happens like to people that, when you can't pronounce, like, I don't know, some people just can't pronounce a certain like a letter or whatever sound. Yeah. And for me, the problem is I didn't want to have an accent in German. That was for sure, And so if I knew both R's kind of cancel each other out, I sticked with the German R, but I can still speak Russian and everything else. Yeah. So when people hear me speak Russian, they're like, ooh, there is like something off, but it isn't like substantial enough.
Yeah. That's you. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes I felt when I, after I was abroad for a while and I spent, I went back home and I spent approximately a year, when I would talk to people in Arabic, it was strange for me because now I have to speak constantly every day to people in Arabic. And honestly, they notice sometimes, they're like, are you from here? they asked me that question. It's like it felt so weird to me now to transition to speaking Arabic every day, in every situation. So sometimes they would question. They're like, are you from here? Or, I'm like, yeah, I'm Libyan.
So bad. But yeah. It's the same as people assuming, oh, you're Russian, definitely, 100%. I'm like, okay, this is going to you know, this is complicated. I'm not just Russian. I'm like more half-half. Have a dual citizenship. So yeah, I can always switch countries. Shame on me. I'm not going to switch now. That's a bad time.
So in these two countries, hopefully they don't go to war. But when they do, you can just switch sides every now and again.
Actually, that's the thing. Apparently, like kids to, I think, 2003, like born before 2003 or something, or four, I don't remember the exact date, they could get a dual citizenship. Because when your parents returned after the Soviet Union fell apart to Germany, there was a new condition. If you have kids, they can have two like citizenships at the same time.
Wow.
And the nice thing is I can switch countries and live there. Like if I want to live there more than 3 months, I just have to go to like, I don't know, the cities, what do you call it? Like the, you know,
visa, like wait, yeah, embassy?
Yeah, embassy.
Consulate.
Yeah. And just tell them, hey, now I'm living in the, you know, in Russia. And they would just switch you. And then you're like, no, I want to go back to Germany. And then after 3 months, you're like, oh, let's go back to Germany. And I can do that. Of course, there are certain regulations with that. You know, you can just switch around every single 3 months. But technically, you could do that. And I think my parents just really wanted me to have the freedom of moving between countries and countries that accept both passports without being tied to, you know, to just one nationality.
Yeah.
Even though in both passports, I'm German, so. No, it's crazy, but it's literally written, I'm never Russian, I'm always German. It's like German nationality.
Wow. That is, I mean, look, this is a fascinating conversation. I really enjoyed it. I mean, we're going a little bit overboard
yes,
here.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know where this is.
I want to, yeah, I like that you took us through this tour of your identity and language. It's just a fascinating conversation. I do want to ask before we wrap things up here, what do you think was probably the major lesson you learned so far from traveling? Because I know you've been to different places. You've traveled
yeah,
new countries.
I lived also like last summer in Madrid for a month. So
oh, wow.
I don't know Spanish. And that was a big lesson. How to live with a woman who doesn't speak English and only Spanish. And you like, you start communicating for some reason somehow.
Start using gestures.
Yes, it works. And she was so happy when I like spoke my first sentence in Spanish. And she's like, oh my gosh, she was telling like all her friends like how I understood that. And then that's where your French skills kick in. Out of nowhere, and you're like, "Ooh, if you mix French and German and Russian together, you understand Spanish." I'm not kidding. I'm serious about that. It
it's
works.
Like you're making a salad here.
Yes,
it's just mix them all together.
Certain words are close to each other. So, but the biggest lesson is probably travel. Just do. Like, let's be honest. I think like I don't assume that people will do the same thing as you do, and unfortunately, they might judge you based on what you do. So, but don't be like mad at them for judging you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it just and it's easier to connect with people that've been places and are open to new countries or new like cultures and nationalities because
right.
I feel like they understand you better than someone who only lived in one city for their whole life. But I think don't judge them too fast and try to observe, listen, but at the same time be part of the community.
Amen to that. I love that. That's one way to wrap up this conversation. Gosh, Veronica, thank you. Thank you for this. This
thank
was
you
wonderful.
For hosting.
Absolutely. Yeah. Appreciate you. Thank you so much.